With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh. Robert, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. How'd you think you did yesterday?
I don't know. I guess you guys could tell me.
Well, no, how'd you feel after it? I mean, we all have our own opinions, but I want to know how you felt after the press conference.
You know, I felt good. You know, it felt like we were able to accomplish what we wanted to, and now today's a new day.
Yeah, you were a little nervous, though, right? You could admit that.
Yeah, you know, the big bad New York media, you know, it's so, but no, it was good. It was, they did a great job.
Just be glad that you weren't in there with all those people. They don't shower, and they really try to put the pressure on you, Rob. Congratulations, man. I'm really happy for you. I know you work for a former coach of mine, Pete Carroll, speaks really, really highly of you, and you kind of got up the ranks relatively quickly. I just, you know, the interesting thing in regards to your comments yesterday about the team that you're inheriting, you know, week two, your team came in here and you just absolutely dominated the offense of the New York Jets, and the Jets are one of the worst offenses in football coming through the 2020 season. So you're inheriting one of the worst teams on that side of the ball. You were the defensive coordinator in week two. You held them under 200 yards until their final 80-yard drive, where they did score an touchdown. And you feel that group of guys, you can turn them around to become a top-flight offense in this league?
You know, there's things that we've got to evaluate, obviously, with how things will fit with regards to that whole Shanahan system that we're bringing in with Mike LaFleur. I think the quarterback has an outstanding talent to him. He's, like I said yesterday, he's a natural thrower. He's fearless. He's got mobility. He's smart enough to process and make decisions in a timely manner. And so there's pieces there. The left tackle, the offensive line is better than people think. But how guys fit and the roles that they're going to be put in with regards to the first, second down run play action pass system and third down creating separation and all that stuff, there's a lot to dissect and a lot to evaluate. So to answer that question, obviously the goal is to be a top 10 offense and run through people, but how that's going to fit and the things that we have to go through over the next few weeks all the way leading up to the draft are going to be the discussions to try to get that done.
Hey, speaking of the games that you had up here against the Jets and Giants, what'd you think of that MetLife turf conspiracy theory, or that might have been true about some of your players going down because the turf wasn't great?
No, I don't know. I know players may say something. I don't know. I can't speak for that. To be honest with you, I don't think it's an issue. To be honest, but. Yeah, that's for other people.
Well, that must have been so frustrating, though, for you, man. I mean, losing guys left and right. I mean, the year after you go to the Super Bowl and you're seeing a bunch of impact players go down. I mean, I could imagine that was just not fun to watch, especially the connection that you have with your players.
No, it was probably one of the more somber locker rooms that we'd been in, to be honest with you, after that game. And so you never want to see your players go down. They put in so much work. They put in so much effort, and they do so much to prepare themselves for those moments to showcase how great they are, and then for their seasons to end. I don't care about me. It's not even about the team. It's at that point, it's about that individual person who you just feel so you hurt so much for. And I think the entire team felt that for those individuals that went down that day. So
you know, it's kind of weird. You know, the year before you go to the Super Bowl, you have one of the best defensive lines. They're assaulting quarterbacks. Even Patrick Mahomes, to some degree, took a beating in the first half of the first three quarters of the Super Bowl. And I think the reason that you got this job or had an opportunity to get this job is because of what you did this year after all of those injuries and how you were able to continue to motivate your players. And you may have done a better job this year than you did the year before. Do you feel that way because of the injuries?
You know, I know that's what people are saying, but it goes back to the players. I just think they've done a Boomer, you've played in this league, and every player knows that they're capable of starting. They do. A player goes down and go into that meeting room and tell that second stringer that, hey, I know you're a backup and we're going to have a fall off in production, so hey, good luck. That's not the way this league. I mean, every player is capable of starting. It's just a matter of giving them the opportunity and the tools they need to be their possible best. And to their credit, the confidence in of the guys who stepped up into those situations, and the preparation that our assistant coaches getting them ready to play and giving them that confidence, and then for those players, the work that they put in to confirm that confidence that they have to go out on the field and then go execute the way they did. Credit to them. You know, it's there's a lot of moving parts to all of it, and players from A to Z are all capable of producing in this league. It's just a matter of giving them the opportunity and putting them in the positions to do it.
Boomer and Geo with Robert Saleh, new Jets head coach on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A lot of people are saying, why players like you? Why do you think all your players speak so highly of you?
You know, I'm not good at talking about myself, but...
Well, you better start, man. You're head coach. Let's go.
Yes.
I don't, you know what? I've just always taken the approach that we're in this together. Players, coaches, it's not players play, coaches coach. You take your side. It's not that. It's not even about that. It's not about... it's about doing things together and investing in one another. It's about giving everything you have as a coach to the player and helping them get to where they want to be as not only individuals but as a team. And players feel that. They know when it's sincere. They know when you're actually helping them. They know that you know what you're talking about. And they trust that you're putting them in positions to make plays. And when you do that, it's just – there's an appreciation that gets reciprocated, and they invest back in you as an individual. And it's like I said yesterday, when investment is reciprocated, it becomes personal. When it becomes personal, it is you do everything you can to make sure to lift that person up and to take care of them, to watch their back and do everything you can to help them succeed. And so, and that's kind of the atmosphere we want to create, where everyone is holding everyone accountable, but in a manner of which that we're trying to lift one another instead of pull people back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And what's interesting, it's 2021. You know, that's the way it has to be. That's the way the players have got to – they have to trust in their coaches. And that's the one thing that we've heard. We've heard it from Richard Sherman. We've heard it from a number of your ex-players that have all said that they trust you as a coach and as a human being, which is a good thing, and which is one of the reasons why I'm sure the Jets hired you. Now, when you came in and you were going through the interview process, I've noticed that you're not going to be calling the defense. You made that known that Jeff Ulbrich, your defense coordinator, is going to be calling the defense. Was that part of what Joe Douglas and Christopher Johnson were asking you to be, more of a head coach to the entire team as opposed to being specifically labeled as a defensive guy?
You know, I don't. It's not something that they were. I don't know where they were. If it was an angle that they were trying to find or anything like that, it was. Was it asked? Yes. Was it the right answer? I don't know. They did a really good job holding their cards close to the chest during the entire process. I was just laying out my plan and how I thought things needed to go, and whether or not the leadership group appreciated that message was up to them. But I went into all these meetings not really trying to give I was doing my best not to tell each individual team what they wanted to hear, and telling them more of what I felt needed to happen from with regards to our staff and what we wanted to build and the atmosphere we wanted to create. And with the Jets, it became a very sincere match.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about bringing in Michael Floor as your offense coordinator. You did announce that. Obviously, he knows the Shanahan system. The Rams run a form of the Shanahan system. I'm sure this is what we're going to determine what it's called. And, of course, Matt LaFleur, who you were the best man in his wedding, runs that system up in Green Bay. Now, he has Aaron Rodgers. That's a whole different story. But that tell Jet fans that's the kind of offensive system that you expect them to see, right?
Absolutely. I've 10 of my 16, 17, I don't know how many years I've been in the league now, but I know over 10 of them have been in a building where that system is run. So with Kubiak bringing it from Denver, and then Kyle for the last 4 years when I was at Houston, obviously with Kubiak, and then Kyle at San Francisco. So it is a SOB to deal with on a day in and day out basis. The movement, the motions, the strain that it puts on you every single day. There is no offense in football that puts so much strain on a defense, but yet makes it so easy for the quarterback than the way they make things operate. They elevate the system itself, makes players better. And it's just a – it is a really cool system. It is a simple system for people to learn. I mean, it is a repetitive deal with regards to techniques, plays. They just do it out of different personnel groupings, formation sets. It's a it's the creme de la creme, if you will, of offensive football, in my opinion. And to have the opportunity to bring it here and a person like Mike LaFleur to install it, who's been with Kyle now for his entire NFL coaching career at three different locations where they've had to rebuild it three times, I think he's ready to do it, and he's excited to do it.
You know, what I like to hear is that from a defensive perspective, you think it's a pain in the ass and to deal with, and that's a good thing for Jet fans to hear. All right, let's talk about your defensive philosophies, and I read where you were talking about Quinnen Williams and how there was debate in your building about him or Nick Bosa when the draft was coming, and those conversations were real, and you seemed to be very effusive of the young Quinnen Williams and getting this mass moving forward as quickly as possible. So give Jet fans an idea of what your defensive side of the ball is going to look like.
You know, we're a four down, three backer set, obviously in the 11 personnel or three wide receiver sets. We'll get the nickel on the field and all that stuff. So from a first and second down standpoint, we're not exotic. It's, you know, we're going to play good, sound, fundamental football. We're going to eliminate explosives. We're going to attack the football, and we're going to do everything we can to pressure the quarterback with our four down front. And but on third down is where you're going to see more, more creativity and, scheme with regards to creating one-on-one, so our players have an opportunity to dominate those one-on-ones. And so it's a philosophy or a scheme that's built on technique first, being sound, fundamentally sound football team, and understanding where everyone understands their job. There's no gray area. We try to create black and white for those guys, and so that way they can unlock all their athleticism. And so you know, I'm biased to the system, obviously, and having Jeff Albrick, who's has some familiarity with it because of DQ over in Atlanta and what he's done, having him here for that foundation and being able to connect him to what we were able to evolve to during our time in San Francisco is just a really good match.
Boomer and Geo with Robert Saleh, new Jets head coach on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Why didn't you fully commit to Sam Darnold yesterday in any of your interviews and at the press conference?
You know, it's I don't know if that's the word from a fully commit standpoint. There's no doubt, Sam, when you watch him, he's got unbelievable talent. He's got, like I said, the arm talent. He's got everything. There's a reason why he's the third pick in the draft. But there's so many things. I'm one of those guys, and you guys will see this. It's very hard for me to promise something, say something that I can't make a promise that I can't keep. And so, with Sam, he is a extremely talented quarterback, and he still has all the tools to be a starting quarterback in this league. There's just a process that needs to be done, and there's a commitment in this organization. It's proven.
What does that process include when you find out exactly who your starting quarterback is? You know, take us behind the scenes with that. There's a process you have to go through to understand who your starting quarterback is. What goes into that?
You know, there's the offensive coordinator, there's a quarterback's coach, there's a pass game specialist, everyone getting their eyes on him, the discussions that have to be had with Joe and his staff, the strength room, the locker room, just trying to find out exactly where he fit and just making sure that we check all our boxes before we say, hey, let's roll. Where he's confirming that this confirms everything we thought, this confirms everything we've heard, this confirms everything we believe, let's roll with it. You know, so everything that we've heard is that he's unbelievable. And it's just a matter of going through the proper channels to make sure that everything checks the boxes. You guys know it. I mean, the quarterback position is the most important position in football, period. And to make sure you go through your due diligence to ensure that the most important position in football is exactly the way you want it to be is got to be at the front of all of our minds.
You know, how much of the history of the New York Jets do you know about? Rob, did you do your homework on former coaches that have been here?
I just being a football fan, as far as the detail of it all, it'd be hard.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. There's no question about that. You know, it's interesting, you know, as a former quarterback, somebody who played for the Jets and who went through three coaches in 3 years, I've actually sat here on this radio station the last 3 years and it basically said that I think the Jets have ruined Sam Darnold because of the inconsistency and because of the lack of support that is needed for a young quarterback. And, you know, I saw it the way that Seattle ran with Russell Wilson, and that's the way you handle a young quarterback. That was not the case here with Sam Darnold. So this is going to be a reclamation project if he is kept here and you believe that this system can be the reason why he could be a better player and a more, I guess, aggressive player than we've seen the last 3 years.
You know, you just look at history with this system. Brian Hoyer's best year came in Cleveland. Matt Ryan had league MVP. Garoppolo did a heck of a job. Aaron Rodgers having a renaissance, if you will. Looks like he's 28 all over again. Tannehill, probably the greatest example. People talked about him as league MVP. He was in the running earlier this year. And so this system is built to make the job of the quarterback much, much easier. It's made to get people open. It's made to create explosives, create clean pockets, create very easy decisions for the quarterback.
That is so music to my ears. I can't even tell you.
So,
it makes me feel good that you're saying that about this and the system and how you could get the best out of Sam, if in fact he is your quarterback.
Yeah, no, I think it just gets the best out of everybody because it's so clear and defined. And it's, like I said, I've been blessed to be a part of it. And so we know what it looks like. We know what it's supposed to look like. And we know how to coach it. And we know the players that are needed to make it work. And the cupboard's not bare. Make sure everyone understands that is just making sure we go through this process and see where they fit within the scheme to maximize their talents.
Yeah, the cupboard's not bare, just close to bare. There's a lot of work to do on the roster. I think we sort of know what's going on with the Jets as we talk to Robert Saleh on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Miles Austin is on your staff as a wide receiver coach. I remember that Miles Austin dated Kim Kardashian. You ever talk to him about that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, if we ever talk off the air, I'll get the details about it. I'm sure that you have. Okay. So there's another couple of things that I wanted to bring up, one of which is going to come from another member on our staff, our producer, Al Dukes, who you will meet at some point, I am sure. He is also a man who takes care of a bald head. Like, this is the thing that is really important to him. And he's got questions about your bald head. Al, take it away.
I was just curious what you use to shave your head and how often, because on game day it looks terrific.
Get the that five blade. I don't know which company makes that.
The Fusion.
There you go, the Fusion. And I don't know. It depends on, you know, just regular old shaving cream, I guess.
That's nice. It, huh? How, no secrets.
How often, though?
I about every other day. Every other day.
But definitely always on game day, right?
Always on game day.
Right.
Oh, he's got to look all shined up on game day. Al, come on, man.
I knew it.
It's one of those superstitions, Boomer. You know it. I go through my routine and go through the process. Just one of those deals, you know. Look, you know, it's just...
I love it. I love it that it's a superstition. You know, so you are a tight end at Northern Michigan, right?
Yes.
So you understand the offensive side of the ball. Of course, the defensive side of the ball coming from Pete Carroll and all that, getting started in the NFL. I'm kind of wondering, like, you were so aggressive as a defensive coordinator on the sideline and you were all out there, you were all emotion. Do you see yourself as a head coach doing like the same kind of stuff on the sideline that you were doing as the defense coordinator of the 49ers?
I don't know if it's a good question. The way I can explain it is this. There's still going to be emotion. I'm not going to be able to help that part of it, but I do have the ability to tone down some because of the fact that I understand that I've got other things to worry about. As a D coordinator, third downs, we get a third down stop. Like, all right, I'm done. It's a head coach's job. Our special teams coordinator's up. Head coach is always in the game with regards to the red flag, timeouts, time, all that stuff. And so for me, I will be able to, after being pumped up, I'll be able to quickly transfer back to my job and because I understand that there's a lot of other things that need to be done. Hopefully I'm making sense to y'all. But
no, you are. You are. And the thing about it is Frank Reich told me that when he got the job in Indianapolis, he just couldn't believe the amount of decision making that he had to make that really had nothing to do with football. It had to do with how you travel, how you meet. And, of course, you are now inheriting a team that was one of the worst teams in the league. You have the second overall draft pick, and you're going to have to do it most likely the way that it was done last year for guys like Joe Judge, first-time head coaches, virtually. Have you thought about that and what that's going to take in order to get your message across to your players without seeing them in person?
No, it is. There's, you know, thankfully we've got a good year's worth of it practice-wise at, you know, this year, everybody being on Zoom. And really, there's just got to be – we've just got to find ways to be able to connect to these young men even more. Hopefully there's still practice times. There's going to be opportunities. There's phone calls. There's individual meetings. You can still connect. I mean, these young men are used to FaceTime, and they're used to having those conversations and connecting through virtual means. And so every opportunity just makes it that much more important when you do get those opportunities and with FaceTime to really connect to our players. And same thing for the assistant coaches, to go out of their way to find ways to connect to the players and make sure that they're doing everything they can to help them get better in some form of fashion so they can accomplish what they want.
You meet Woody yet?
No, not yet, but I'm supposed to be meeting them here soon.
Okay, so that's going to happen today?
I don't know about today, but I haven't given a time, but it's supposed to be soon.
Okay. I mean, is it odd in your mind, because one of the longtime beat reporters here, which he tweeted out, Rich Cimini, that it's odd that you haven't met him yet, and then all of a sudden here he comes on a plane from England, and he's your boss, and his brother hired you. How would you describe that situation?
You know, I'm not concerned about it. I think anyone with the business acumen of the Johnson family, including Woody, when he does walk into the building and he sees the way that Joe and I and our Sabs are working together and relentlessly trying to pursue a winning culture, it'll be appreciated, because he'll know. He can see when things are right. He got to where he is because they know what's right. And he's been able to own a football team because he knows what's right. And he's made a lot of great decisions for this organization also. And so I'm not concerned at all. I'm actually looking forward to meeting Woody and being able to sit down and talk with him and build a relationship.
So you mentioned yesterday that you're not on social media at all. Is that actually true? And do you think that maybe you have to join, because you're a head coach now and you got to keep tabs on what's going on social media, because all your players are going to be on it?
You know, I'm not on social media. I'm not a fan of social media. I'm not gonna lie to you. But as with regards to the players, the other part of it is my family sends me everything anyway. So
okay.
I'm not overly.
Will you have a policy if you don't like social media? You're not a fan. I'm with you on that, by the way. But will you have a policy as a head coach, like maybe the Patriots do, about, hey, you're not posting anything? Like, we're not messing around with this social media stuff?
No, always protect the team. I think the players have the right to their own individuality and to be able to express themselves and still, you know, still market themselves in the way they need to. But as long as they've got the team and they're at the forefront of their mind and they're protecting the team at all costs, showcase who you are.
You know, it's interesting, Rob. You know, when you left the building the first time after your second interview in person, you felt and you said that you felt like this was home. And maybe it is home for you because of the way it got started. You know, you were at your Co-America job. Your brother was in the South Tower on 9/11. That whole thing happens. You find your way back to the game that you love in a very tough way. Like, you just gave up everything and said, I got to go back and do what I love. There is some synergy here, I would think, coming back to New York. And is it believable to you yet that this is exactly where you should be?
I was talking with my wife about it when we took the job, 100%, you know, I do believe, I'm a man of faith, and I do believe all that stuff, and that there is a reason why God puts you in certain situations. Right. And so, 9/11 obviously affected many, 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 many lives, on that day. And it's the reason that, I got into coaching. We won a Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium in 2014. Circle back. We're here as our first head coaching opportunity with the New York Jets, and the 20th anniversary is the day, is our first game is the day after the 20th anniversary, is the 20th head coach, and it's like, it's supposed to be. So, you know, we're just so excited to be here and call this home because we're supposed to be here, and so we're excited to get started.
Hey, Robert, one last one from me. I envision that when you're about to start this press conference yesterday, that someone from the PR staff, and we know a couple guys over there that we like, they bring a laptop computer in front of you, and they call up YouTube, the Adam Gase press conference, and they make you watch it. And then when it's over, they say, don't do that. Did anybody give you any sort of indication that the last time the Jets introduced a head coach, it was a stone disaster?
No. No, they no one referenced the past, but I thought Eric Gelfand did an unbelievable job just prepping me and Joe and everybody for the media, and but at the same time, you know, he just thought he did a really nice job getting us ready for that process, and it turned out great.
Yeah, well, it's not definitely not easy. I do want to warn you though, Rob, you know, about one of your coaches. Your quarterback coach, in fact, Rob Calabrese. He's from my hometown, East Islip. He could be a problem. We at East Islip have a lot of opinions, and we think, you know, we invented football. Actually, he's a great kid, and I'm so happy for him and to see how hard he worked to get that job. Did you know Rob before hiring him, or did he come recommended?
So many people called on his behalf.
Oh, wow, good.
I was like, well, we got to talk to this kid. And he made it known that he broke all your records.
Yeah, that's because I played for his coach's father, and his coach's father was just a little bit more run-oriented, and he wouldn't let me run. And then, of course, the son takes over, and then he goes to spread offense. And, of course, Rob broke all my records. There weren't many records to be broken, but, yes, he was a great high school quarterback, and I'm just so happy that he's a part of your family and that you found a spot for him, and it's going to be great.
No, we're excited. He's going to be a coordinator one day. He's a good one.
Robert, thanks so much for joining us today. Best of luck. I know we'll talk to you down the road, and we're hoping, we're thinking, and we're wishing for a ton of success in the Rob Sala tenure here with the Jets.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy, Rob.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Robert Sala, New York Jets head coach. I mean, pretty good at this. I have to say, he's pretty good at this whole interview stuff
kind of
already.
He relaxed today.
He did. Yeah, he was more nervous yesterday. You could definitely tell.
Of course, you would be too.
Yeah, I guess.
I remember when you first came in here.
I wasn't nervous.
Yeah, you were nervous.
I actually
was. You were nervous.
I wasn't
nervous. Weren't as nervous as Brandon Tierney, but you were nervous.
No, yeah, but I mean, I'm telling you, I was the one living it. I wasn't all that nervous.
I saw it. See, sometimes you don't see it. Like, we saw it from him. He didn't really see that. He didn't feel that.
Okay. I mean, Tierney was definitely nervous. He sweated like 15 pounds out that day and said stick Michael 45 times, right?
He must have said stick about 50 times.
I was seamless. Slid right in there. Wasn't nervous.
Oh, yeah, you slid right in
there. I was like,
there,
right? I remember saying what I did is I sat down next to him and said, hey, Boomer, shh, I got this. That's what I said. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.